Kennedy Warne, good morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
Describe the scene before you.
I'm very happy to. I'm in the dunes behind the southern end of 90 Mile Beach in a little place called Hukateri. And I have ridden here along 90 Mile Beach for 4 hours from Cape Reinga. I was part of the first group of this year's two tour Aotearoa, which is a north to south cycle ride from Cape Reinga to Bluff.
And so has it started? Are you losing your place?
No, I'm resting here. I'm waiting for Rod Oram, in fact, to catch up. So Rod invited me to do the first section of the tour with him, and I somehow missed him at the start this morning. But I'm very hoping very much he will catch up with me, because he knows the way and I don't.
How have you found it so far?
Lovely. This is a great ride. It was begun in 2016. It's run every second year, so this is the third iteration. There's approximately 1,400 people going, riders going this time. They go in several groups of about 100 spaced over 14 days. So my group was the first this morning, and so that was about 100 of us. And as the morning light touched the sacred tree on Te Rerenga Wairua, the leaping place of the spirit, those 100 people walked from the lighthouse up to the car park, mounted their steeds, rode along State Highway 1 for 20 kilometres, peeled off at Te Paki to get to 90 Mile Beach. And the ride down the beach was very pleasant, because it was a side wind rather than a headwind, and one passed oyster catchers, blackback gulls, a dead whale that had been there quite a while, I would say, and just enjoying that vast space of sand with the ocean lapping it.
Firm sand, one imagines, given you're on bicycles.
Yes, it's very interesting how the beach varies as you go along. You may come to a patch which is maybe full of shellfish, and so there's a lot of sediment on top, and you ride more slowly through softer sand, and then you get to a hard part which you can move along quickly. I should say that there were two tandems in this year's event, one of which has a blind person in the rear position. So you can ride by tandem or by normal bike.
The big question, of course, and I've been we have another colleague, I think, participating in this. The big question has been the weather, and we've watched different fronts come through. What's this one looking like for the next few days, Kennedy? Or are you just going to wave them off and say, thanks, that was fun, good luck for the rest of it?
Well, I do actually wave goodbye to Rod at Auckland, but I think these first few days are pretty nice in Northland, so I'm not thinking there'll be any problem.
You've long been a cyclist. Is it a big step up from being a regular cyclist to doing the sorts of conditioning you need for a tour like this?
Not really. The whole point of it, it's not a race, but a ride. So you go at your own pace. In fact, the rules of the Tour Aotearoa is that you cannot finish in less than 10 days, and you should aim to finish in no more than 30 days. Now, if you were trying to do it in 10 days, as some people who passed me going very fast this morning, that's doing 300 kilometres a day, which is a fair amount of pedalling.
Wonderful stuff. I hope Rod catches you soon. I'm sure he will. It's not the only matter that you want to discuss today. There's been an important treaty settlement. I've seen some coverage on it, but you want to highlight it, and this is the Moriori treaty settlement signed on Rīkohu, yes, the Chatham Islands.
That's right. On Valentine's Day, in fact, the deed of settlement was signed on Rīkohu with Moriori, and I took a look at the historical summary just to refresh my memory about the very sad story of Moriori. So just to recap some of it, I think they're probably maybe the most maligned iwi, or as they say, imi in Aotearoa. They had, or they developed, a very egalitarian society which outlawed warfare and killing. And now they had been in Rīkohu and the other Chatham Islands at roughly the same time as all other Maori tribes arrived here, so somewhere between around 1200, I suppose, 1200 AD. Now, in 1835, 900 people from two Taranaki iwi chartered a British ship and arrived at Rīkohu. They were welcomed and fed in accordance with local Moriori custom, a kindness they repaid by killing a sixth of the population, about 300 people. Now, when so Moriori appealed to the crown for some relief. They had been the survivors had been made slaves and forced to do manual labour for the new arrivals. When the Native Land Court sat in 1870 and looked at the situation, unfortunately, they decided that conquest was a legitimate way of acquiring land, and accordingly awarded 97% of Chatham Island land to Maori and less than 3% to Moriori. So by the early 1900s, the population of Moriori collapsed from 2000 to 31. And then worse, if you could imagine something worse, what happened then was that ethnographers portrayed Moriori as first extinct and then sort of retrospectively a racially inferior tribe, a myth the Crown perpetrated through the school journal, which is how so many New Zealanders grew up accepting this this falsehood. And there's a particularly poignant sentence in the historical summary that says, as a result of the stigma associated with persistent myths, generations of Moriori have been reluctant to identify as Moriori or have been told they are not Moriori and have thus grown up in ignorance of their heritage. Moriori are still dealing with this legacy of loss today. So it just seems extremely, deeply sad to think that even if you were Moriori, you felt such stigma that you would not identify as your own. You could not express your own identity. So a real tragedy. But the settlement is a way forward. It involves the usual Crown apology, some rectification of history to attempt to put the myths finally to rest, and some monetary compensation to enable Moriori to move forward.
That battle for justice has gone on, I think, since 1862 when they wrote to Governor George Grey.
Yes.
Seeking release from enslavement and the return of their lands. And the first claims by Moriori were first filed in 1988. So what's that? It's over 30 years ago. This has been a long, long
absolutely
effort.
Yeah. But what, you know, these steps that are taken, the signing of the deed, as has happened with so many other iwi, a new day dawns.
It is interesting too, the official mythology, isn't it? That's a challenge with our history. Something as beloved as the school journal, but yes. When its information is incorrect, the potency really, you know, can extend across entire generations learning
yes.
incorrect history.
It's a kind of mental poison, and really that did spread so far and wide and has been extremely persistent. You know, you still hear people repeating the myth of Moriori inferiority, or the fact that they were an original people and, you know, Maori extinguished them, and somehow that's used to justify later colonial depredations on Maori. So there's so much mixed up in there, and it's starting, but it's starting to be sorted out.
I'm just brought to mind of the wonderful Tina Makariti, one of our foremost writers, her wonderful Where the Rekohubon Sings, her novel, which really explores the complexities of so many, of being Moriori, of being Maori, of being Pākehā. A very sort of contemporary take on this story, and one perhaps to be recommended for people as a marker, really, of what's just happened on Valentine's Day. Well, Kennedy, you stay warm. Get back on your bike, and where have you got to go to?
No,
you've still got to get to
warm.
Auckland.
There's plenty of, it's extremely hot up here.
So you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about hypothermia then.
No.
Lovely to talk. Safe travels. Enjoy it. Thank you very much. Kennedy Warne speaking to us from the southern end of 90 Mile Beach. He is doing the first leg of Tour Aotearoa, the cycle ride. And our business commentator, Rod Oram. Kennedy's telling me he's trying to catch up, but I wonder if he hasn't just left him in the dust.